looking at the life of the Apostle Paul. There's not many ways you can exhaust this man's life, but as we have talked over the last several services, we've been looking at some of the events of his life, and I've even, again, thought to myself, why am I preaching what I'm preaching, and why am I here at this particular grouping of Scripture right now? And the only thing I can say to you is I feel peace in my heart by sharing what I've been sharing the last few days, and that's all I can say about it. Because I don't try to pick and choose and figure it out. I just say, okay, God, I want you to speak to me, and he just kind of shows me what he wants me to preach. So tonight we're going to do that. Way before Paul went to Corinth, Paul was in other places. From Acts chapter 9 over to verse 6, chapter number 16, you can read about the new believers and different events of Paul's life and part of Paul and Barnabas' journeys as he began to go through his missionary journeys to various places. So we get into Acts chapter number 16, and we find Paul again in a place called Derbe, D-E-R-B-E. We find Paul in a place called Lystra. We find Paul at Macedonia. And it was there at Macedonia that things begin to kind of go south with Paul. We pick up there in verse number 16. And before I start reading this, I wanted to take for a title, if I look for a title, I do sometimes and sometimes I don't. I wanted to take for a title the scene for this message, Shaken, But Not Forsaken. And I thought about Paul when I began to think about the life of Paul the Apostle. How many times did Paul have a shaking in his life? We read part of that this morning when we was talking about the determination of Paul the Apostle to continue on and to preach the gospel. As they were singing the song, my mind again began to think about what I was going to preach this evening. Thinking about how many times we've all been purged by fire, if you will, in the spiritual application, that we have all went through something in our lives. You can't show me one Christian that's ever been a true Christian that at some time in their life it seems like that their faith has been shaken at some point. And I think about Paul, and I think about the life that Paul lived, and I think about how that in all of the events of Paul's life, Paul still comes out as a role model for us even in 2022. In this particular verses of Scripture, we can find here where that Paul the Apostle came to a place in verse number 16. Again, you know the Scripture as well as I do. I don't think there's anything that I'm going to say this evening that is brand new or something new that's not been said before. But once again, to tell you, just because you become a Christian, that don't mean that you're no longer going to be shaken. It don't mean, years ago when I was much younger, I would often feel defeated in my heart because I was going through a trial and I was going through a situation and I didn't understand, and I felt like that God at times had forsaken me. I know I didn't do it, but I could go through the Psalms, I could go through different things, and I could have looked up the word forsaken in concordance, and I could have built more around that word, because that's the way I do when I study. I look at things throughout the Scripture on the topic that I'm looking for. But many times throughout the Scripture, even the psalmist and those that Brother Scott's been talking about in the Psalms felt forsaken. And even David, when the psalmist said, even when your mother and your father have forsaken you, God is a reminder to you and to I this evening that he will not forsake us. Now, even in the beginning of this message this evening, I just want to come by long enough to tell you, if you're in this room and that is exactly how you have felt recently, God just sent me by to encourage you, to let you know that you are loved, that God cares for you, that even in your moments of despair, even in your moments and you feel like that nobody cares for you, even as hard as life gets and as difficult as life gets and as complicated as life gets, God's still for you and God's not against you. Paul, when he opened this verse of scripture up, in verse number 16, we read this and it says, and it came to pass. I like that. It came to pass. Didn't come to stay. It came to pass. As he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain through soothsaying. Verse 17 and following, the Bible says, and the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Verse number 18 reminds us that she did this for many days. She did this for many days, and Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Now, I wanted to put a little plug in right there, and let me put it in today's lingo. When Paul had had enough, I mean, we use the word, he was fed up to here. He was maxed out. I can only imagine in my own mind, and I don't know this from Scripture, but in my own mind, I can only imagine Paul's nerves. You know what I mean? Every time that he turned around, here was this little demon soothsayer next to him. This little girl that was corrupt, and this girl that was demonically possessed with a spirit of divination. One that practiced the occult, no doubt. One that commentary said was one that foretold, one that foretold the future. And everywhere she turned, or everywhere he turned, she was there. Now, I'm a little bit too early in the service to say what I'm getting ready to say. But aren't you tired of some of the things that's taunting you? Aren't you tired of some of the things that you would love to really get away from? Every time you turn around, it's back on you again. It's tormenting your heart. It's tormenting your mind. This is exactly what was going on in Paul's life. Paul was on a mission. Paul had work to do for Jesus. But everywhere he turned, when this young lady was near him, she became nothing more than a hindrance and a stumbling block to his life. Now let me move on before I get too preachy. In this we can see that where that she followed him many days and she cried and she said, these men are the servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. Verse 18 says again that she did this many days. No doubt in my mind, day in, day out. And Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. I'm going to let that sink in a minute. I'm not at a loss of words. When I pause, that's Selah. Pause and think about it. It's one of them moments you need to think about this. I need to think about it. So again, when we look at this in the Scripture, the Bible says, he said to this demonic spirit in this girl, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I'm about to say it anyway. I'm struggling up here to hold myself back. One of the reasons that people never get free from the thing that's taunting them, the thing that they know they need to get free of, is because they keep petting it. They like it. They enjoy it. And they keep doing it. And Paul in the Scripture, Paul looks at this demonic girl because he was fed up. It's quiet in here tonight. You're listening, I know. And I don't know if it's one person or anybody in this room or watching online. I have no idea. But anytime we ever get fed up with living in a life of sin, if we ever get fed up with it, if you had your belly full of it, my daddy, and I don't want to get into that right now, but that's one of the phrases that daddy would always use to me. You'll quit when you get your belly full. When you get your belly full of the results of the actions and the results of what you're doing, you'll eventually quit. You'll give it up. But as long as you pet it, it's going to hang around. Hey, you can't pet a snake. You got to cut his head off. Come on, somebody. You can't pet sin. And all this is free. It's not in my notes nowhere. You can't pet sin. I'm telling you what, Paul the apostle, if there's anything that Paul showed us in this scripture right here, is that when he looked back and saw this demonic power on this young lady, he rebuked that spirit. Notice he rebuked the spirit. The Bible said that he rebuked the spirit and he commanded thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I like that. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them in the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful to us, for us, to receive neither to observe being Romans. When you look at this, the Bible says there in verse number 22, the Bible says that and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the power and the anointing of the Spirit. I pray, God, that even now as we step off into this message this evening, that Holy Spirit, that you'll be here with us. That God, that the words that we would say and the things that we would do in this room this evening, that God, that it would bring glory and praise and honor unto you. And I thank you, Father God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the touch of God upon my life. And I pray, oh God, today that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Father, we thank you for that. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I want to go back for just a little bit before we move forward into the latter part of the message. And kind of pick up here where I've walked around this a little bit from last Wednesday night. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, and Paul, through his great conversion, and Paul was introduced to Jesus Christ himself on the way. And Paul's testimony later was to tell many others the events of his testimony, what had happened in that event. Well, from there, he went into Ananias' house in verse 17 of Acts chapter 9. And he mentions that in the scripture again because God had told Ananias to lay hands on him. And he says that in the latter part of verse 17. Brother, saw the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now again, when we look in verse number 20, one of the things that I mentioned even this morning as well as last Wednesday night, what happened in Paul's life next was a radical transformation of Paul's life. Because we see Paul, this one who was Saul, began to go and preach Jesus. We see that in verse number 20. And the Bible says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, look at Paul's life and look forward into the timeline of what took place in Saul's life. I'll interchange his name as Saul and Paul because God changed his name from one who was known as Saul to the one who was known as the Apostle Paul. But one of the things that I began to look at is where, when he began to preach Jesus unto them, one of the things I mentioned just a few days ago was that many of the people that heard him was scared of him, or they were afraid of him. We see that in verse number 21, and they were really amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? Again, it confounded the Jews, and they were afraid that Paul was really just trying to beguile them and set them up to actually trick them, and he would take the Christians or those at that time and actually destroy them. So here again, we find this first plot in verse number 23 of this text in Acts 9, where we see this, and all the people that was there, the Jews, as the Bible says, they took counsel against Paul at that time to actually kill him and to destroy him. Verse 23 says the same thing. 24, excuse me. And it says, their laying away was known to of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. He had a death warrant on his head, if you will, simply because Paul, at that time, the Apostle Paul, became an amazing preacher of the gospel. We still have his writings today because of what he did once he was filled with the power and the Spirit of God. From that point on, Paul moves forward. And as we watch him move forward, something very interesting to me came to my mind as I was looking back through this and writing out my notes today. It's simply that when Paul got saved, look at this. There was a great peace that came over the church. Now in this we see this. If you look down through Acts 9, 26 through 31. I'm not going to take the time to read all of that, but we can see that where that Paul had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus Christ. And again in 29, the Bible says he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, again, disputing against the Grecians. And it says, but they went about to slay him. And then I thought to myself as I was thinking about this message that you and I today, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but let me go ahead and put this plug in here. You and I today, when we get saved, we would think, Sandra, that everything after that would be so easy. We would think after that it would just be so much easier for us to live this life of peace. Now, for those that was in Paul's life, we can see verses 30 and looking down through there. I'll have to look in verse 31 to get my point. But we can see in verse number 31 really what it said, because it says, then, watch this, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and was walking in the fear of the Lord. And it went on to say, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, when I was reading that, I was thinking about this because of some writing that I had put in former years in the margin of my Bible. I thought about how that Paul got saved and how that Paul was a persecutor of the church, and how that, let me use the word, Paul was a sinner, and Paul, no doubt in my mind, hated the church for the message that the church was carrying. Wouldn't it be something if you and I in our world today, Brother West, those that hate the church and those that have no use for the Christians and those that really don't have anything good to say about the Christians at all, wouldn't it be awesome if they started getting saved? Wouldn't it be awesome if people that really have lived sinful lives and sinners' lives, if they started getting born again? Just imagine how much more peaceful it would be. See, when Paul the Apostle was Saul, you know the storyline there. And he got right with God. He got his heart right with God. No longer was the church under fire. No longer was the church worried about the threatenings that came against them because of the Apostle Paul. Because Paul had given his life to God. Paul's conversion brought great peace and comfort to the church. You can see that again in verse number 31. But Paul's life did not stop there, because again, you would think when Paul would get his heart right with God, when Paul would actually be turned to a Christian, if you will, that everything else in Paul's life would be okay. But friend of mine, I come by just long enough to tell you today, if you and I start serving God, I just got to say it like I feel it. Don't you know that you disturb hell? Amen. You are a devil slayer. You are a devil killer. And all of hell begins to retaliate against you, to try to shake you to the very core of who you are. Used to, when I was a little bit younger, I would think about spiritual warfare and the things I was going through, and we'd have great church services and we'd have a good time in the Holy Ghost and people would sing and shout and dance about. But sometimes before you got to work on a Monday morning, all hell had broke out against you. Hey, the only thing I can say to you today, if hell is fighting against you, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, count it all peace and joy. Oh, when you fall into divers temptations, if you wasn't doing something right, come on somebody, the devil wouldn't be trying to do everything he can to tear you down. Don't you dare get discouraged if the devil's fighting you. Hey, lift up your head, lift up your hands. Oh, lift your eyes to the sky. Give God the glory, give God the praise, give God the honor, because greater is he that's within you than he that is in the world. And God is for you and not against you. But Paul, you would think that when Paul got saved, that everything else would just be sweet. But know that when Paul, just a few chapters later, we come to our text. And in this, Paul began to face a different type of battle. Isn't it amazing when we go into spiritual warfare? Isn't it amazing that the devil's the one causing it? The devil's the one doing it? And all of a sudden, narcissistically, we blame God. Like it's God's fault. God is for you and not against you. Now I'll get into something a little bit edgy, but we'll get there after a while. The Lord help me. But Paul found himself right in the middle of what he wrote about later. He wrote about this thing that's called spiritual warfare. And my friend, we think today that we don't go into spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, she's got it. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10 teaches you and I these very words. Because Paul is the one that penned these words even then. And Paul must have known at some point in his life. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If there's ever been a day, if there's ever been a time that we need to be clothed with the armor of God to do warfare against the enemy of our soul, it's today, because the devil is trying to do everything. Society is trying to do everything that it can do to shake the church. Trying to do everything that he can. And Paul, again, when Paul was penning these words, and you can run all the way through, I think it's verse 18 or so, but Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, he goes and all the way down, he says these words. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Be dressed for success. Be dressed to win. Be dressed for the battle. Don't leave your home, friend, if you go to work. Don't leave your home unprepared for warfare that day. You don't have to go looking for it. It will come to you. The damsel came to where Paul was for the purpose of destroying Paul and shaking Paul and tearing Paul down. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil, the cunningness of the devil. And don't you for one minute think that you're so good and holy that the devil is not going to come and try to tear you down, my friend. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care if you put your breeches in the corner and jump in them every morning when you get out of bed. You're still going to deal with the devil. I still deal with the devil. Every day. Other things I could get into, but I'm not going to get into it right now. The wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's amazing today that when we start getting shaken, when we start going through these shakings in our life, we begin to think that God, again, let me remind us, that we feel like that God has forsaken us. Sometimes you're shaking. Watch this. This is very important. If you're writing anything down, write this down. Sometimes the shaking that you're going through is not for you, but it's for somebody else. It's for somebody else's deliverance. Maybe you're going through what you're going through so that you can help somebody else get delivered. Are you with me tonight? I'll get to this. I'll get to the main point here after a while. But then again, we see this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the organized forces of the devil. And I don't have time to get into all that. But the ranks, there's authorities. And this one that was, this young girl that was possessed, she was possessed with the spirit of the divination. She was possessed with the spirit of the devil. Roll on really quick in verse 13. He says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day." In the evil day. Be able to withstand in that evil day. Hey, my friend, you don't have to go or wait for the evil day to come. We're already living in a day that's filled with all kinds of evil. But this is what I keep on saying. Just because the world is in the condition that it's in, the church don't have to throw up her hands and quit. Throw in the towel. It's the greatest day ever for the church to be the church. Where's people going to go to? If you and I get shaken, it's a display or a monument to our God. And people are going to say, well, if that's their God, he must not be a very big God. He must not be a God that's able to sustain them. I know not whether he'll deliver us from the fire. But there's one thing I do know, Shadrach, Meshach, and that other guy. I'm not going to bow, Nebuchadnezzar, to your God. We don't know how God's going to do it sometimes. I don't know how God's going to bring me through sometimes. But I just got to trust him through it all, through the storm, Martha, through the fire, Hannah, through it all, you, that one, Kayla, through it all, we got to trust God. Y'all sung it. Names real fast. Through the fire. Fire's not to destroy them, but the fire was to purify them. That's another message for another time. Verse 14 says this. He says, "Stand therefore." When you've done all to stand, stand. Stand. Take a stand and keep standing. Paul, that day when that little spirit of divination in that little girl came to him, he got sick and tired of being sick and tired. He said, "You know, I'm about sick and tired of you. I've had about all of you I can take." Motor mouth. You need to go somewhere and shut up. You know? Hey. Somebody said, "Do you talk to the devil that way?" I talk to the devil any way I want to talk to him. He's under my foot. Amen. Amen. He's under my foot. He's not my buddy and he's not my friend. Come on, somebody. Some of you need to quit petting your snake. You quit glamorizing your sin, and you quit glamorizing the thing that's destroying you, and you'll have that same feeling too. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I know I'm talking to somebody. When you get sick and tired of your sin, you'll quit petting the snake. Oh, I took a Jan Aldridge spell. You know, y'all don't know Jan Aldridge. But when Paul the apostle was there after the Euryclid, what's that word? The storm, and it's called Euryclidon or Euryclidon or whatever it was there in the latter part of Acts chapter 28 there, and the turbulence and the storm came. They escaped on the ship, and they thought that Paul was a god, and Paul was there, and but that Paul was putting all the sticks on the fire. Hey, what happened when that snake came out of the fire and latched on his arm? Hey, you know what Paul did not do? Paul did not say, "Hey, look at a snake, mate." He didn't do that. Right. "Look, mate, a snake." He didn't do that in the Australian accent. Right. He didn't do that. No, he did not do that. What did he do? He shook it off in the fire. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you need to quit petting your snake. You need to quit petting your sin. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness." Roll with me real fast. And I got a long way to go tonight. Verse 15, he says these words. And he says this in the scripture. He says, "Stand therefore, and having your loins girt about with truth." We've already done that. We'll go to the next one. "And your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace." Roll through 18. Whatever it is, the end of that. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to stand and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God." One more time. And he says, "Is praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." Hallelujah. The only thing I can say there at that latter part is simply this: just be faithful. Amen. But Paul found himself in a total different type of battle. You think about Jesus. I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but in a couple of more places that I've got here to look at. So anyway, when you find yourself saved, as Paul said, we feel like that we have exempted ourselves from spiritual warfare. Jesus was never exempted from spiritual warfare. John the Baptist declared him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But yet in Luke, you can turn there. I'm not going to turn there and read it all because it'd take too long for the evening. But I want to prove my point by simply saying this, that Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1, when Jesus was hungry and Jesus had fasted for quite some time, 40 days, and afterwards he was hungry. The Bible begins, he tells us there that the enemy of his very soul, Satan himself, came and he began to tempt him. He began to turn the stones into bread and all the things. If you're really who you say you are, throw yourself from the pinnacle of the hill. All this that the enemy began to say. And he said this word over and over and over again. He said this over and over. He said, "The word of God forever is written and is forever settled in heaven." And he was able to take the word of God and he was able to stand against him by simply taking the word of God and opposing the enemy, not with anything less than the word of God. Again, Jesus confronted a foul spirit in Mark chapter 19. You can turn there and read it sometime. Verses 14 through 29. I'm not going to turn there and read it right now. But it's when Jesus was there and there was a foul spirit came out of a young man, and the dad had brought this young man to him, and how the disciples could not even cast him out. But then in the latter part of that verse, around 28 or 29, along through there, he says these words to him. Even though he says, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." What Jesus did, he confronted that devil and he told him and he called it out. He said, thou spirit, deaf and dumb spirit, thou dumb spirit, not deaf, but dumb spirit. He said, "Be cast away from him." That's not an exact quote, but that's what he told him. He cast that demon away. So in this scripture, we can see how that Paul and Silas was cast in jail. Even though you have battles in life, even though you confront things in your life, the devil in life. Now, moving forward, the few things I've got left to say here this evening, this is one of the most important ones because it's been a part of my own personal life as well, is do not allow the torments of this life for you to lose your focus and to dismantle your faith. If we lose our focus, the enemy will dismantle our faith. And by that, I simply said this. They took Paul and they took Silas. They beat them. They threw them in the inner prison. They put them way, way, way back in the deep places of the prison. And they put them in fast in stocks. And they couldn't even move their feet. They couldn't even move their arms. They were bound there. And Paul and Silas very easily could have lost their focus. Their whole entire life could have been shaken right there. And they could have said, as many people have said, "If God really loved me, I would not be in the condition that I'm in." I don't know how many times in my life that I've said those very words, "God, where are you and why am I going through what I'm going through? God, if you were there, my situation would be much different. God, if you were there, you would come and help me even now." I don't know if Paul and Silas even thought about anything like that, because the Bible don't tell us that. But they were men like you and men at how men are. The Bible reminds us of what happened to them. The Bible said that it says there of how that they took these men and they took them, they rent off their clothes in our main text in Acts 16 verse 22, and it says that the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and they commanded to beat them. Verse 23, and it said, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the inner prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, and then in 24, and having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Again, let me say this. In the scripture, we see this of how Paul, again, and Silas was thrown into this jail. They were tormented, no doubt in my mind. And even things that we deal with today, maybe not using the terminology torment, but if you and I ever lose our focus, then it will dismantle our faith. And their faith had to stay intact. Circumstances of our lives so often would have done that. But yet we didn't fall prey to the enemy. So in this, we see that this scripture, Paul again, bouncing back just for a minute. I got ahead of myself. This young lady was there tormenting Paul. And he goes back in verse number 18. I apologize for getting ahead of myself. But Paul did this, and he spoke to that demonic power, that demonic spirit that was absolutely tormenting this young lady's life. Paul recognized something that you and I must re-recognize? Well, we must recognize once again. That's a better way of saying that. If you go back into Mark, and I'm sorry I'm backpedaling for just a minute, but if we're children of God, the Bible says that God is already, through the power of the Spirit, at Mark chapter 16, I think it's verse 16. I'll have to look back here for a minute for my notes. He says this in Mark 16, verse 15. I'm sorry, Jan. I'm working her too hard up there tonight. I apologize. This is the Mark rendering of the Great Commission. But I wanted you to see this for the purpose of doing the Lord's bidding on planet Earth even now. Even though it seems like if you look all around us that things are being shaken all around us. Seems like that people are having more problems now than they've ever had. I don't know. It just seems that way. But in the scripture, in this verse 15, he said unto them, the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16 and following says this, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, condemned. For these signs shall follow them that believe. Watch this. In my name, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. If you look at a devil and you look at that devil and you say to that devil, I adjure you, I adjure thee, let's use King James. I adjure thee in the name of Christopher Allen Green. Come out! That devil's going to tear you like they've done the sons of Sceva. That devil's going to tear you apart. But if you look at that devil and you stand upon the word of God and you have your armor on and you look at him and the authority and the boldness that Paul had to preach in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I adjure thee to come out. I command. I'll never forget when I was in my intern program in 1989. Didn't know nothing about nothing. Just had a willingness to try to do what God called me to do. 1989. I was at the Hendersonville Church of God. I was standing on the platform. I don't know if I was preaching. I don't remember. I think I was. I finished preaching or something. And again, very young, not been in church very long at all. And this man came, Sandra, and he threw his hand straight up in the air. And he screamed at the top of his lungs, it's got to come out of me. I didn't know what was in him. I had no clue. But I said, come here. I started getting the pastor and other people. We got to pray for this cat. Something's going on. Something bad's happening right here. But we prayed for him and we laid hands on him and he fell like a pine tree, pow, on the floor. I don't know if it come out or not. I have no idea. I don't know what was tormenting the guy. But he come out. Paul, again, in the teaching of Jesus, again, at the latter part of Mark chapter 16, he said, in my name they shall cast out devils. We like petting devils. I ain't petting no devil. And if you're full of the devil, don't expect me to pet you, because I ain't petting no devil. Amen. If people come to me with a sour, old, grouchy, hateful attitude that's not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, there's something going on in there, friend. It don't need to be petted. Come on, shake your head at the preacher. You know I'm right. I learned a long time ago, you can't pet a devil. You can't play hopscotch with the devil. He'll trip you. You can't placate that. You got to get rid of the devil. Hello? Somebody says you're preaching a little bit too radical this evening. I ain't preached radical enough in a long, long time. Amen. Oh, I know the devil will try to attack me when I get through preaching like this. It always happens. He'll either try to get me some other way. He'll try to get a wedge between me and Sherry. He'll get a misunderstanding between me and the church member. He'll do anything he possibly can to stop the church. But we got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I got to hurry. I don't know what time I'm supposed to quit on Sunday night. I have no idea. Nobody's ever told me. So I guess I'll just preach tonight, I guess. I don't know. And it says they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. And in this it says they shall take up serpents. That is not advocating becoming a snake handling church. The only way I'm going to handle a snake is with a hoe that you dig in your garden with. I let a snake live the other day. I felt sorry for him. Brenda, I didn't even tell you this. It was at your house. He was about that long. I had that weed eater going, buddy, and he come out from under the leaves, and I went, you know what a weed eater will do for a snake. It turned him a flip, and he went against the wall, and I looked at him, and I didn't see no blood, so he's still there somewhere. She said, you better come and get it. I went into my garage about a month ago, and there was a snake laying on my stoop. Wayne, you know that little stoop where you put the rail up? There's a snake laying right on my stoop, little old black snake. I took my blower and blowed everything out. I don't know where he went. Riker was there in Jackson last week. And did I tell you that? I think I did. But I went back there where I've got plants and my little flowers and stuff that I like to talk to in the mornings. I'm just kidding. But there's that little old black snake laying there. I thought, come here, Riker, look at this thing. I didn't kill him. I mean, you know, he's not talking about little black snakes and little garter snakes. They're not going to hurt you. I ain't playing in low rattlesnakes or copperheads or cottonmouths, stuff like that. I just let them go on, do their thing, and I do mine. But he's talking about that demon spirit inside of a person that torments a person day in and day out. Likens to Satan himself. If they drink, didn't tell you to go drink strychnine just to test God and see, hey, let's see what God's going to do here tonight. That's foolishness. How many times have you done things in your life that we don't know what we ingest in our bodies? If we go out to eat, we don't know how it was prepared, and we don't know who touched it, and et cetera, and so forth, and so on. But God's protected us. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Why? Because God had them on a mission. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the Bible says, and they shall recover. So in this, let me try to wrap this up in the next 5 minutes or so. I got other stuff I want to read to you and share with you, but I've got to move on quickly. When Paul understood that he couldn't pet the snake, something happened in Paul's life. He looked back there at that young lady, that damsel, that could have very easily shaken Paul's life. Paul could have very easily been shaken when they put him in jail. He looked back at her and he turned to her, being grieved in his spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he, now look at that. She was a she, but the spirit was a he. That's what the Bible says. And he came out of her the same hour. Let me just say it like I feel it. And I hope it's not in this room, but some people's got trespassers living in their life. I've had to declare at the end of my driveway and on my property and over my life, devil, you are not welcome here. There is a no trespassing sign. You are not allowed on my property. You cannot cross the bloodline. You cannot come into my life because I don't belong to you. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. And you get back and you get out of my life right now. Years ago, I learned a scripture out of Ephesians 4:27. You don't need to put it up there. Neither give place to the devil. That's how you defeat him. You don't give him room. Somebody says, well, the devil's been riding my back all week long. We'll take the saddle off your back. Quit giving him a place to ride. Quit entertaining him. Paul said, you old devil, talk of that spirit of divination, you get out of here. I hate to say the stuff I have to say up here. Some of you need to go to your bedroom and you need to get rid of some stuff. You need to go to your house and get rid of some stuff. You need to get some stuff out of your life that's impure, unholy. And my friend, you're going to find fast that your life can turn around really, really quick. Paul, in this scripture, as I move forward really, really quick, the Bible says there in the scripture that this spirit came out of her the same hour. I just read to you the rest of that scripture and I got ahead of myself a little bit. And it says there how that Paul and Silas was taken, they were beaten. They wasn't delivered at that time. But I thought about how the heat was actually turned up. Paul got saved. Paul was living for Jesus. Paul ought to have been on his spiritual honeymoon somewhere, enjoying what God was doing. No, Paul went straight into the battle. Let me just say it the way I feel it. Don't you think for a minute, if you're in a spiritual battle, that God's forsaken you. If you're living right and you're doing all you can do for God and you're living holy before Him, you're living pure before Him, don't think God's forsaken you. Now, in this scripture, we see several more things that came to my mind. First of all, they commanded Paul to stop preaching. That's dangerous. Tell a preacher to quit preaching. We look at what Paul and Silas, they caught them, and I thought in my own mind how that the enemy might have been dancing at the capture of the Christian, how the enemy was having a heyday. But again, the Bible says to Paul and Silas, don't mention the name of Jesus, don't preach, don't say nothing else about what you're doing. Brother James was back there earlier telling me something he's working on. I told him, I said, that's kind of ironic because I got that in my scripture text tonight. Because it says in Luke chapter 19, a few verses of scripture, when Jesus had came into the town, Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 40. Sometimes I forget to tell Jan where to go. I apologize for that. When you look at this, it's really, really quick. I'm not going to take the time there to mention it too much. But in the scripture there in verse 37 through 40 of Luke 19, when Jesus came into the town from the Mount of Olives, and it said that how the people rejoiced and how that God, they began to praise God with a loud voice and for all that they had seen, the mighty works of God. Go to the next couple of verses. 38 says this, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Look at this verse. He says, and the Pharisees among them, from among them and the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke the disciples. Shh. Don't you get too loud in the church. We're a quiet church. We're a reserved church. We're a polite church. It don't take all that. One of the things I've said is simply this. If God's ever done anything for you and if God has ever brought you out, somebody may not understand your dance, but you need to keep dancing. Amen. Amen. If God's done anything for anybody and you've got a praise upon your lips and a song upon your heart and the world is telling you you need to hush your song, you just keep singing your song. We sing the song, How Great Is Our God. Sometimes we need to just sing it to spite the devil. Just to let the devil know we're not going to shut up. Again, the Bible says, again, the Pharisees was there in verse number 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these hold their peace, if all the people hold their peace, then the Bible says there, that these stones would immediately cry out. Why did you put that scripture in there? Because maybe in your life today, you might feel like you're going through a shaking, but I come to remind you, you're not forsaken. You might be going through a purifying process. You might be going through a process right now and you feel like that God is a million miles away. Paul and Silas, maybe when they were beat, maybe they felt like, God, where in the world are you at? I don't know how they felt. Maybe they were shaken. Maybe their faith was being tested. But I think there was much more than that to it. Because Paul and Silas, if you begin to look at the next verse or so that we want to read to you, Paul and Silas, this Bible says in our text in verse 25, the Bible says at midnight, they tell me that midnight is the darkest part of the night. I don't know that for sure, but at the very darkest moment in their life, when it seemed like that all the lights are out, when it seemed like that all hope is gone, when it seemed like you could not find joy again if you went to the store and had to buy it, my friend, when all hope was gone, Paul and Silas did this one thing. Even though they might have been shaken, the Bible said there at midnight, you look at it right there, even though the enemy of their soul had told them, oh, shut up and quit praising God and quit singing unto the God. But yet we look at this again where the Bible says at midnight, they prayed, pray until something happens. And they sang their praises unto God. I don't know if anybody in this room is going through anything. You've not talked to nobody about it, but you know in your heart, you're saying, God, I need you to answer my prayer. I need a breakthrough right now, God, because I feel like, God, that I've been shaken into pieces. And God, I feel like I can't go on anymore. I say to you, under the authority of the Word of God, lift up your eyes and look into the hills from which cometh thy help. But even more than that, lift up your voice again unto God and sing a song of praise unto His name, and I promise you that it'll be the first jailhouse rock. Amen. Because when Paul and Silas began to sing and glorify God, the Bible said that God began to send a shaking. Amen. And the Bible says, if you look at this, where it says there in the Word of God, as they began to sing, verse 25 and 26, and the prisoners heard them. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying this. That the thing that Paul and Silas were going through was not so much for Paul and Silas to be hurt or injured or anything like that. It was bringing Paul and Silas to the place that others could see their faithfulness even when they were being shaken. Sometimes we go through storms and we go through things, and we don't understand it until we get out on the other side. And then we look back and we think, oh yeah, now I know why I had to go through that. I didn't go through it for me. I went through it for somebody else. And suddenly, I like that word, suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Suddenly, Tim Hill in 2016, 18, somewhere along through there, he picked up on that word and he had young preachers get up at the General Assembly and talk about suddenly. The things I began to think about again in my own mind was these suddenlies, and when they were in the upper room, that the power of God began to manifest on the day of Pentecost. And even on that day, there was a great wind and there was a great fire and there was a great manifestation of the tongues that manifested on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't so much for those that was there as much as it was for those around the world today that still hear the gospel. But we see this, and it says, and so the foundations of the prison was shaken. That's a good shaking. And he says it was shaken, and immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands was loosed. When we think about this looking forward in verse number 27, we think about what Paul actually experienced there. Paul experienced a great revival, and again, as I've already said, it was a jailhouse rock. Circumstances did not stop their praise, and circumstances did not stop them from glorifying God. Revival happened in the jailhouse. Come on, Jody. Revival happened in the jailhouse. And what are you saying tonight, preacher? I'm just simply saying this. Oh, I got two more pages. I'm going to quit. Sorry. It just gets in me when I'm doing things, and just I keep on going. I never know how long the message is going to take me to preach. I have no clue. Because God gives me so much more when I start preaching that I didn't think about when I was studying. 27, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword because he knew he would have been killed if he would have allowed all of them to escape. I can only imagine the anthem of hell, if you will, when a Christian turns his life over to God. Why did you let him go? I had him right in my grip. You know what I'm saying? It's like Carmen, the song that Carmen done years ago. The enemy thought they had us right here. We thought when we were being shaken that we were going to be defeated. But God said, I will never forsake thee and I will never leave you. He told those disciples in Matthew 28, and lo, I am with you always. Even in this, we see that he would have killed himself supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Look at the next few verses. But Paul cried with a loud voice, hey man, don't do yourself any harm. Don't hurt yourself. We ain't gone nowhere. We're all here. We're still with you. We ain't forsaking you. We're here with you. The next time you get to the place in your life and you feel like that God has forsaken you, remember this message. Remember this place and this message when the devil thought he had you. You're going to run out on God. You're going to run out on the very thing that God is bringing you to. We see this again. He called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. I love this. And it said there in verse 30, moving forward, he says, and they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Acts 4 and 31, you don't need to turn there. Acts 41 says, neither is there any other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Through Paul's troubles and through Paul's shaking, through everything that Paul had went through, as others had looked upon the life of Paul, the apostle, and Silas, they found out that the God that Paul was serving was the true God. They wanted some of what Paul had. Even though your life and my life has been shaken at times, some of you seen me at my lowest points, dealing with stuff that I've had to deal with in days gone by. You've watched me struggle. You've watched the pain and the sorrow of certain situations eat at me. But somehow in my own heart, Sherry and I, we held on to God and we knew that God was for us and not against us. We've held on. The only thing we knew to hold on to was God. I've had people tell me, I don't know how you made it. Well, I settled that a long time ago. What's Peg's last name, Horace? McCamey's. Peg settled that with me a long time ago. How did you make it? I made it by grace. Then she'd kick her shoe off.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know what the shoe had to do with it, but I made it by grace. Paul told this man, you got to believe on Jesus. Folks, you're not going to make it in today's society. That shaking that comes to us, it'll shake you to pieces. Without Jesus, it'll shake you apart. You will not be able to stand without God. And the thing about it is, God designed it that way. He fixed it that way. He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. That's why he's given us the opportunity to turn our heart over to him, so that when the storms come, when the troubles come, we have someone to lean on. We have somebody to trust in. And his name is Jesus. Maybe you're in this room and you've never trusted him. You can trust him tonight. You can put your faith and confidence in Jesus tonight. You'll see that Pastor Green's telling you the truth. Does that mean everything's beautiful and hunky-dory, as Sherry said earlier, and you'll never have another problem? Hey, you get saved, you've got a whole new set of problems. I think I've tried to prove that in this message tonight. But even though you've got a whole new set of problems, you've got somebody in the ship with you now. You're not by yourself. Stand with me. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Look in the next few verses. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Verse 33. I like this one. I like this one a lot. The very enemy of Paul's life that put him in jail, the very one that that beat him, the very one that come against him, the very one that maybe out in my own mind cussed him and screamed at him, the very one that Paul, even though Paul was going through the shaking, even though Paul did not lash out, even though Paul could have done a lot of different things, no doubt in my mind, to this individual, Paul just kept praising God and glorifying God. He kept being a Christian. Your test is going to become your testimony. It's nothing but a test. And then from this, he took them the same hour of the night, middle of the night, having a revival at a house in the middle of the night. Glory to God. Wouldn't you like to have a revival? Say, I'd like to have a revival anytime, but I'll take it in the middle of the night. Come on, somebody. And he says he took him and he washed their stripes and he baptized he and all of his. Straightway, verse 34 says this, and he said, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, fed him. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If somebody's been mean to you, be good to them. Somebody despitefully using you, love them to Jesus. As I heard my good friend Frida down in Monroe, and she's passed on and went to glory, she would say, just love the hell out of them. That hell that's inside of them, that devil that's inside of them, you just keep on loving them. Just love the hell out of them. I don't mean that in a cussing way. I mean it, that thing that's going on in their life, just keep loving them. Perfect case. You say, that's the hardest thing I'll ever do in all of my life is to love my enemy. Amen, amen, and amen. That's the word of God. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples by your love one to another. You're going to be identified by how you treat other people. You know, a lot of times we do unto others and then split. You know what I mean? We do unto others and then run. That is not a Bible scripture, but it is a Bible principle. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Because by the same thing you do to others, you're going to reciprocate that. I promise you it'll come back to you. And he says he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. I think there was another verse. And when it was day, the magistrate sent in the sergeants, saying, let these men go. Hey, hell don't know how to handle a Holy Ghost filled baptized church. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. You've been shaken. You've been through the storm. The enemy don't know how to handle you. You've been faithful to God. You remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul looked at that demon spirit in that girl and said, come out! In the same hour that demon come out, somebody in this room, you might need to look at that demon and say, come out. Get out of here. Get out of here. You're not welcome here no more. And that's what Paul did. I love you. Good night to you. I hope you have a wonderful week. I'm praying for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I love you. Father, take this message, this hour. Let us, oh God, apply it to our heart and apply it to our life. Father God, even though we go through the shaking and even though we go through the storm, God, let us remain faithful unto you in Jesus' name. God bless you as you go. Amen.